Good afternoon, how are you? So I'm going to talk to you about this integrated approach that we use in our healthy communities work. I have no relationships to disclose. So this first element, investments in communities, is what I'm going to be focusing on. So what does that look like? How do we invest in our communities? What do we do? Since the characteristics that make up a healthy community are interdependent, you know, transforming communities to be healthy communities requires like a cross-cutting, sustainable approach to community change. And also addressing the root causes of chronic diseases. Diseases like type 2 diabetes and obesity, and their root causes of physical inactivity and poor nutrition. They don't operate in isolation of one another. So this is this model that we use, this integrated approach, where on the left side you'll see these risk factors or root causes of these diseases on the right that are interrelated. And we work together with our communities who form coalitions and partnerships to assess the community needs and to come up with an action plan to implement these policy systems and environmental change strategies working across sectors of the population. So addressing these root causes supports public health system capacity as communities address a broad range of public health concerns simultaneously to improve the health of the greatest number of people with an efficient use of resources. So all this work, engaging the community and stakeholders, getting the right players to the table, forming relationships with non-traditional partners, getting buy-in from key decision makers, implementing sustainable strategies to the built environment and social environment and policies that happen to threaten the food, beverage, and tobacco industries, and working to achieve behavioral change. You know, policy tips the norm, which leads to behavior change. So all this requires a lot of innovation. Changing the way public health addresses the burden of chronic diseases forces us to think outside the box. So some of our community coalition and leadership teams involve folks like elected and appointed officials. A state senator is even on one of these teams that I'll mention later. So we have directors, CEOs of community-based nonprofit orgs, perhaps a president of a healthcare organization, various school, college, university administrators and staff, business owners, and the like, and hopefully community residents who are passionate about this healthy communities movement. And so not only do we partner with parks and rec and transportation, but also other folks like urban and regional planners, local housing authorities, offices of urban development and revitalization. A civic organization might be walking, biking, gardening clubs, neighborhood improvement associations. Coalitions like Healthy Kids, state coalitions for physical activity and nutrition, local TV, radio stations, newspapers, social media, web page developers, local restaurants, corner stores, supermarkets. I mean, really, really get in there and partner with folks you normally wouldn't think public health would partner with. And if we focus on school districts and not just individual schools and faith-based leaders and I already mentioned elected and appointed officials. So this assessment and planning takes place in concert with the community coalition, the leadership team, these partnerships to engage the community to figure out what the needs are, what the priorities of the community are, to come up with a plan of action to implement sustainable strategies that include smart objectives, an evaluation plan, and a sustainability plan. So here again, we're going back to these root causes. So we work with our communities to come up with strategies to increase access for good nutrition is one of the root causes of poor nutrition. So these farm-to-school programs, competitive food guidelines, which are, you know, in schools there's these a la carte items that, you know, the schools are trying to determine what the nutritional content of those should be because they're competing with what's in the regular lunch line. They're not always healthy. So there's a variety of ways of getting healthy food and beverages into the community, into the restaurants, into the vending machines, adopting, you know, nutrition education curriculums in the schools, getting the farmers markets to take the food stamp or EBT cards. One of our communities in City of Boston won an award for their soda-free summer campaign. The other risk factor, physical inactivity. These are some of the ways our communities increase opportunities for physical activity through these more systems-wide, broader-based, and policy approaches in the community, like shared use agreements and complete streets plans and more individual-based initiatives across school districts like walk and bike to school initiatives, neighborhood revitalization projects, trail promotions. I know of a couple school districts that I work with that are incorporating physical activity into the school curriculum, like Fit for Living, Learning in Motion. And another risk factor that cuts across these diseases is tobacco use and exposure. So we're working with communities to address this through quit lines and more recently, you know, there's this movement towards like trying to increase the price of tobacco products to cut down on consumption. There's SWAT teams in the schools working on these peer-to-peer models of tobacco cessation. And a host of tobacco-free, smoke-free policies across the community in different venues and also city ordinances. So now I'm going to give you some strategies implemented by some of our communities more recently. Some examples from Achieve communities include one in Allentown, Pennsylvania, where almost half of the city's students are overweight or obese. So their Achieve program used a systems-wide approach to incorporate an active time physical education curriculum in 20 district schools where the PE teachers incorporated physical activity into the role-taking process, introduced new fitness activities as part of the warm-up process, and introduced more co-ed activities in upper grade levels. In Island County, Washington, which is a relatively small rural county in Washington State, just north of Seattle, consists of 7 islands. Their Achieve program worked with county officials to implement smoke-free parks ordinances as part of their efforts to promote smoking cessation and decrease exposure to tobacco smoke nearly 80,000 residents. In Columbia County, Oregon, Achieve worked with the county school district administrators to implement a district-wide, comprehensive school wellness policy as well as a policy compliance strategy. The students helped determine what would be allowed to be sold at their concession stands. A teen health advisory teams learning about what foods of minimal nutritional value means, and the school cafeteria now has stricter guidelines for nutritional content, and stronger anti-tobacco signage was installed around the campus. And in Salamanca, New York, their Achieve program partnered with an Indian Youth Bureau, the mayor, police department, schools, and others to revitalize a formerly dangerous 2-mile nature trail that was a rail bed. And it connects the east and west ends of the city, and they also implemented a safe routes to school program. In Ann Arbor, Michigan, their Pioneering Healthier Communities and the YMCA increased youth access to physical activity by providing summer recreational programs in city-owned parks. The number of children served through these programs has grown steadily from 30 to about 300 children so far. In Providence, Rhode Island, they implemented the Fresh to You program, which offers fresh fruits and vegetables and water on a daily basis in all of their school programs in 10 locations, including 5 schools. The program allows families in Providence also to come to school sites and purchase fresh fruits and vegetables at 40% of their market value. In Itasca County, Minnesota, their Pioneering Healthy Communities team, which includes city officials and a state senator, there's that state senator I said that was on one of our leadership teams. One of the things they did was implement a policy that improved the nutritional value of the meal program in the local school districts. And they also partnered with the state on multiple other interventions that support active living and healthy eating. Most recently, the team is working with the state to help promote usage of 66.5 miles of trails in the city. And in Topeka, Kansas, their PHC efforts led the groundwork for the adoption of a complete streets resolution. The team cultivated grassroots supports along the way and tapped into the National Complete Streets Coalition's expertise for assistance. The City Council is now working to make sure all aspects of the Complete Streets initiative are implemented, aiming at having every project reviewed with Complete Streets in mind. In Hamilton County, Ohio, which is the Cincinnati metro area, their Strategic Alliance for Health program is working with the Board of Education to implement competitive food guidelines in all schools to increase access to healthy foods for 6,300 students. In DeKalb County, Georgia, their Strategic Alliance for Health is in the process of implementing a community gardens in parks policy. Each parks will have a community garden coordinator who is responsible for making sure that the gardens are 100% edible, they're policy compliant, they're properly maintained, and a portion of the produce is distributed to local food banks. So this is an example of a systems-wide approach to community gardening. In Albany County, New York, their Strategic Alliance for Health program explored physical activity options within the classroom as a way of increasing the amount of physical activity students got through during the day, like learning and motion. Strategic Alliance for Health staff are now working on policy to implement this initiative across the entire Albany City School District. And the Sioux Tribe in Michigan's Strategic Alliance for Health program worked with their tribal housing authority to adopt a smoke-free multi-unit housing policy in 17 units that are smoke-free so far, impacting all 500 families. By setting a precedence and taking this opportunity with this project to educate the community around the dangers of secondhand smoke. Our Strategic Alliance for Health communities also have a formal mentoring program where they mentor 2 communities for each year for 3 years. They're also writing an implementation guide on one of their policy systems, environmental change strategies that Lindsay will talk to you more about. And these are comprehensive how-to guides, step-by-step guides on how to implement a PSC change strategy so that we can add to the body of knowledge around these strategies. And our mentor communities also have opportunities to attend our action institutes and receive trainings. All of our communities address sustainability either in their action plans or in sustainability plans that they submit. And we are also developing a sustainability guide that we define in this way. It's a step-by-step guide to sustainability, and Lindsay will be talking to you more about the dissemination of this guide. But first, Brandilyn will talk about how the national networks we work with help communities move forward in implementing this work. That's it, and thank you.